Welcome back to the Average to Savage Show with Scaletti, a podcast that will help you overcome your limiting beliefs, setbacks, and fears to create the life you were destined to live. Welcome back, everybody, to the Average to Savage podcast. I have my man and very special guest, Michael Curry, with us today. After struggling with obesity his entire childhood and experiencing a life-altering medical incident, which I do not know about yet, and I'm so fascinated to hear this, he decided to lose over 100 pounds through diet and exercise. 100 pounds. Through his transformation, he learned how resilient the mind and body can be, getting a better outlook on life, and now works as a firefighter paramedic in Maryland. Michael, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
I'm so excited. Just so everyone knows, I was emceeing the Charlottesville Marathon a few weeks ago and met Michael at the finish line. I met your support group first, and they told me everybody was supporting him what part of the story was about losing the 100 pounds. And I'm like, we got to get this guy on the podcast. So here he is, Michael. Let's start at the beginning, because you alluded to this in the bio with your childhood. Can you take us back to what childhood was like and how this struggle that you dealt with for many, many years, how it all started?
So I grew up in a place called Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Big on poverty. My family wasn't like all that rich growing up. I had two older sisters. We were kind of like a bigger family, like an obese family. Well, my mother and my two sisters and myself were. My dad, he came from military background, so he was still relatively thin at that point. We were just trying to get by with food. And me growing up, being around like obese people, like in family, I thought this was also like not my destiny, but like family heritage, this is who I'm going to be. Growing up, I was thinking I'm going to be the fat kid. Like, there's nothing I could do about it.
Can I ask you something real quick on that?
Sure.
I don't know if you were going to remember this or not. Did anyone tell you as you were a kid, hey, Michael, this is just how it's going to be, just deal with it? Or do you think you just took in your surroundings and came to that conclusion?
Well, I don't think anyone ever like fully told me that, honestly. However, you know, we all knew we were fat, and we all heard the story growing up, oh, diet and exercise is the key to losing weight. And we sort of tried, but not to the fullest extent. And, you know, growing up, not really poor, but not rich, it was hard to buy, like, you know, fresh fruit, vegetables, all of that. I remember like Hamburger Helper being like a big support meal for us growing up. And my parents were working like full 40-hour week jobs. My dad was working 80 hours a week just to get by.
Wow.
So it was hard to come home to like a nice fully cooked meal, or like a nice, like healthy meal, but it was enough to keep us sustained, I would say.
Okay. And then, so were you overweight all the way through high school and
overweight? Even— yep. I just remember growing up, like, you know, people say like, you want to get rid of, like, say that hunger feeling, that like, that's when you know, like, you're full. Here, I thought like that whole like stuffed feeling was the feeling that people always talked about. Like, you know, when you eat like a lot of food and you can't move, like, I thought that was what I was supposed to eat into growing up. So that's why I think I just was obese at that time.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's like this stuff is never taught, even what to eat healthy living wise. I never knew until really like my late 20s. Oh, if I just make some adjustments in my food, I may just start losing weight. I don't know if you knew that. Like, I really didn't. I mean, I guess I knew that vegetables were healthier than French fries, but I didn't really know what to eat. Like, did you have any idea?
Well, keep in mind, like, when we grew up, we had that food pyramid, which the grains and all that sort of was at the bottom. What they say, like 12 servings of grains a day, or at some that point. So we just thought like eat a bunch of carbs, like a bunch of noodles, spaghetti. Like that's the base of the food pyramid. That's what the government quote unquote told us to eat. And funny story about that, my mother was a full on diabetic, like type 2 diabetic. So she remembered that no one fully told her that carbs are sugars. So she would eat all these carbs and wonder why her sugar was always high. And to make matters even worse, she worked for a chocolate factory. So she would bring home bags and bags of chocolate for us to just eat. And yeah, we like, the chest freezers people had their homes. We had this full big chest freezer of just candy rejects that we could just like snack on.
Oh yeah, I mean, and if it's there, I don't know how you are, but if it's there, I'll eat it. Like if I
Oh,
walk by
100%.
it, I can't. It's still like a lot of people think I'm disciplined. I'm like, I just don't put it in front of me, whatever the unhealthy food is. I just
Right.
can't see it. So you go through high school still, overweight. Is there a point, and we talked about this, I'm 40 years old, you're 35. Was there a point when you decided I want to try to get healthier, or was that recently when you signed up for this first marathon?
This was actually early 2010. On January in 2010, I was unemployed for a full year because I used to work for Circuit City as a like out of high school as a job. Then when they filed for bankruptcy, I couldn't find a job for over a year. All of a sudden, Comcast hires me to sell Comcast services out of Best Buys. So I go to New Jersey for training. No, like it was like a week-long course. So I had to commute from Reading, Pennsylvania to New Jersey every day for like a week. All of a sudden, this is leading up to like the event where like I woke up and I started throwing up blood like everywhere.
Oh, that's not
Yeah.
good.
And I'm thinking, oh goodness, like this isn't right. However, brand new job, like they had that idea where if you miss one day of work, like we had nothing to hold you here, you're fired. So here, like I had the stress of I didn't have a job or like I had a brand new job. So I just toughened through it and I go through the training. All of a sudden, I remember sitting at the computer as they're going over like how to do stuff. And I quickly run to the bathroom and I just remember it was a massive amount of like blood in my vomit, like in the toilet. And I told my boss, like, hey, I have to go to the hospital. And so they drove me to the hospital and essentially I feel like they just shoved me out the door and said, see ya. I'm like, well, what a great boss in a way.
Yeah.
I just want to say this is just, it's not like about Comcast and Joel, just like, I don't know. It's just like a personal thing. Like maybe that's what that person did. Anyway, here I am sitting in triage, like in the waiting room. Also, I've had this, like, I'm going to throw up because nothing's been done to me. They haven't seen me yet, but that doesn't mean I haven't stopped vomiting. So I rushed to the front. I was like, hey, do you have like a bucket or something? And they're like scrambling, like trying to look, and I'm like, "Where's the bathroom?" They point. I rush to the bathroom. It's locked. I'm like, "I'm gonna throw up. It's gonna go somewhere." So I just ended up expelling all this like bloody vomit on the floor.
Oh.
And here I am, like in a state of like altered, trying to walk. I slipped, fell, and here I am, face up in all my blood and vomit. And all of
Oh.
a sudden, a nurse walks over and goes, "We'll see you now." I'm like, "Thanks," because I've seen that.
Oh my goodness. So they kind of figured something is very wrong with this man. Let's get him help ASAP.
Yeah.
So
So I
what
remember
happened?
essentially there was like a rupture of some sort of my esophageal, like my esophagus, because my entire life I used to drink soda all the time. You know, it was already available. Drink maybe 10 to 12 cans of Coke a day. And all that acid in the soda, I guess it wore away some of my esophagus where it just burst. And that's what happened.
So, as you're throwing up, was your throat like really in pain, or was it
Oh,
just,
yeah.
oh, wow. So
I
you
think it
threw.
was maybe like 4 to 5 times I threw up that morning. And like I had no idea what's going on. So I think what happens like a vessel rupture in my esophagus, it was going in my stomach. It was irritating that. So that's why I was vomiting all
Oh, okay.
the time.
And you think, or not even you, maybe the medical, maybe they told you this, it was the acidity from the soda over the course of years that could have eaten away at your esophagus?
I don't think it was them personally. I just feel like they just said, oh, this is what's wrong with you. Like, and they discharged me. Because ER, it's constantly rotating, like being on like the other side of the ball game right now. It's constant, like in and out of people. Like the doctors and nurses don't really have 100% time to break it down. They just want to know what's wrong with you, fix you up, and get you out of there.
So did you leave quickly thereafter?
It took a couple hours, but then everything was all said and good. I think I left maybe 4 or 5 hours afterwards.
Wow. And so then you leave. Is this the moment where you're like, I need to cut soda out of my life? Or like, what was going through your head those next few hours or days?
So that day I went back to the training, and keep in mind that day I already drank 2 of those 20-ounce plastic bottles of Coke. So there I go because I'm thirsty. And before I hit like the number to get the Coke out of the vending machine, I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I need to change something. Let me just start right here. And I remember getting the water, and that was the spark that changed my life.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. So when we were talking before recording, I feel like when people make a shift, like there's a breakthrough, not always like an exact moment, but you know, a quick period of time where they're like, no more, that's it. But it seems like for you, it was a moment of, instead of pushing one button, you pushed a different one for water. Is that right?
Oh yeah, like instead of Coke, I started drinking water, and I remember I cut soda cold turkey that day. And I continued to drink water instead of soda for a lot, like ever since then, honestly. Only soda has been maybe a couple times here and there, but I remember that being the moment where it all started.
Oh, I love this. So you knew when you left the hospital that maybe it was soda that was holding you back. And like, right. do you remember once you hit the water and you started drinking the water, how you felt?
I don't remember 100%. Like, you know, people say when they quit like soda or caffeine, they get like headaches and all that. I don't remember getting like caffeine withdrawals. However, keep in mind, that was like 14 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really remember. Maybe I thought, oh, this is just my body trying to get used to not consuming all this much.
Yeah. And then what about like days and weeks after? Did you start losing weight relatively quickly? And do you remember what your energy levels were and all that fun stuff?
I don't remember my energy levels. Like, that was the only change I did. I noticed my weight wasn't really increasing. Like, I remember during like either that week or the week prior, the scale hit for me like 319 pounds.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, whatever, like depressed, obese. I don't remember it dropping too quickly. So.
Okay. But I mean, it's amazing that you said one decision basically changed your destiny. And it was switching what liquid you put down whenever you're drinking. And it's like, that's okay. So you make the shift, like you start drinking water. What, like, walk us through, because this is in 2010, like what happens over the next few years, or what's the next event that happens?
So like within the next couple of weeks, I was like, all right, like I start feeling better. And I like I said, it wasn't like a big decline, maybe like 10 pounds in a month or something like that. And I started to slowly increase like dietary plan, like changes. It wasn't like a 100% shift, like going to eat all this like junk food and all. You know what? Today I'm going to go to the grocery store and buy nothing but fruits and vegetables. And like, that's it. Like, I've always had the idea for myself that I feel like a quick or like a abrupt change like that, for me, was a recipe for disaster, because I've done that many times previously and I will always go back like in a couple days. But for me, that whole gradual change, like maybe eating a couple vegetables like this week would help. Because growing up, I was always a picky eater. Like, I didn't like vegetables at all. Like, when we get like a hamburger from a fast food, I would just say like no lettuce, tomato, onion, all that sort of stuff. But now, like, if I just start adding vegetables, so like that, like a fast food, instead of getting like a couple hamburgers, I only get one hamburger. Like, it was just little minute changes here and there that really, I feel like, did the whole snowballing effect for me.
I love that because that's not, for anyone listening, it's not overly intimidating. You were just making small changes over the course of time. I mean, I love that it was simple. It wasn't anything drastic, but look what happened. And did you start at that point incorporating any sort of walking or exercise, or is it just the diet was slowly changing?
Oh, it was just a diet. I remember I lost 90 pounds before I did any kind of exercise regimen. So when they say weight loss is 80% diet, they're not kidding. Well, like, I've heard this analogy, what a donut from Dunkin' Donuts is like, what, 500 calories? How many miles of running is that? Like five, six plus. Would you rather not eat that donut or go out running for over an hour for some people? Like, what is the easier change for you?
Such a good way to look at it. The donut you can consume in 30 seconds, and then you got to go run for an hour and a half to get rid of it. I mean, that's a powerful way to look at it. So you lost, like, what was the 90-pound weight loss? How long of a period of time was that?
Well, it took about like a year to lose that much weight.
Okay. And then so now we're like 2011, like, you start exercising at that point?
Yeah, I joined the local gym, I started walking on the treadmill, looking up exercise regimens, like trying out machines here and there.
And
And
it was,
that's pretty much how it all just like expanded to like a lot of weight loss.
oh, I love this. And then, so once you got the weight off, and now we're obviously in 2024, has it stayed off from 2011 until now, or did you have some ups and downs?
I've had ups and downs 100%. I think the lowest I've weighed was like 194. But for me, I was very skinny, like scrawny. And if you I go like I looked up like fit people, I saw they had like a lot of muscle, like, and if I want to be like them, let me start going to the gym, start eating better. So it was a hard change to try to incorporate, for like the past like year and a half. My mind is just eat less, eat less, eat less, eat. Like the scale going down is a good thing. The scale going down is a good thing. It was hard to flip that switch and be like, the scale going up is not a bad thing.
That's a really good point. Like, it seems like you were so conditioned for years, going down is good, going down is good. I actually had a woman on that was trying to gain weight and it, for her legs, get power. It's like it was hard for her to believe, oh, it's going to be healthier for me to gain weight. And I think that's fascinating, and I appreciate you sharing that's okay. And so, now to the day that we met, like, why sign up for a full marathon? What was the trigger that was like, I'm going for the full? And I think you said you had run a couple halves before. Why sign up for a full marathon? And actually, also, when did you sign up for the full marathon?
So when I started losing weight, started going to the gym, I was thinking, what goals are in mind? Because I don't just go to the gym and start lifting weights and not like have like a end goal. And I was like, you know what? Let me try running a marathon. So I signed up for this marathon called Steamtown. It's this one in northeastern Pennsylvania. It's mostly all decline. So I was like, oh, relatively easy. All of a sudden, halfway through, I was to the train. I was like, nah, I don't think I can do it.
So
So that,
just stop you, Michael. This is in like 2012-ish.
2011, 2012. So
Okay.
I was like, eh, I'm not gonna do it. Like, it's not for me. Cut back to the pandemic, and all the gyms are closed. And I was trying to think, I gotta work out somehow. Let me try doing a, let me actually sign up for a marathon. And but in March, we weren't really sure what's gonna happen later that year. So I was thinking, let me just run, like 26.2 miles outside, like without a race signed up, just by myself. And I remember I did the full training I did for this one, but halfway through that attempt, I was just done for because it was the hottest day of 2020. I was not prepared at all. And I was like, you know what? This is just not for me.
Just real quick, did when you say it was the hottest day, was this the day you were planning on running 26.2 miles? Like, did you have a day? Oh, so you had trained and you were gonna go for it?
Yes, I was going to go for it, go for myself.
Oh, wow. So now this happens in 2020, and you're right, there was nothing to do. Like, I feel like anybody was working out in their basement or
I don't think
running.
Any races were going on. Like, no races. So I was like, there's no race I can like schedule for. So let me just do it by myself.
So just out of curiosity, how did you feel the second time when you had the date set, you had been training, and then you said, no, like, that is not gonna happen? Like, do you remember how you felt after, like, sort of?
Oh, I felt so defeated. Like, I was like, this is not for me. Like, maybe I should just not do like long distance running. Maybe I should try something else.
Like, so you hadn't fully given up, but maybe you kind of did in that moment, it felt like?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is even more fascinating. So how do you go from that? I mean, it's not that long, a few years later, going, I want to try it for a third time. I feel like most people at that point would have done what you said. It's just not for me. I'll do other stuff. Like, what makes you give it a third shot?
So this spark that happened roughly last December, my significant other, Michelle, the one who you met during the marathon, she's going to medical school coming up. A little shout out to her. Like, I'm so proud of her. She's worked her butt off for the past couple of years trying to get to medical school. She finally has. I'm so proud of her. Yes. I feel like that's an accomplishment in itself. But anyway, me and her were talking, and she wanted to get into some sort of exercise regimen again. And we're like, let's do a marathon together. Like, it's one way to exercise during the winter time. Like, I hate running in the cold. You hate running in the cold. Like, it's one way to build that mental, like, grit. So we sign up for it. Well, I sign up for it. She goes, I'll just train for it and we'll see what happens. Then fast forward, she had, like, her knees just couldn't handle anymore. Like, that's another story with her than her previous medical history, but her knees couldn't do it. I don't mind, but I'm like, you know what? I'm already running 12, 13 miles. I paid for this marathon. Might as well just do it right now. And so I just completed the training for it. And so she was supportive of me too.
She was very supportive of you, even though she wasn't able to be training next to you.
Right. Like, there I am out running like 3-4 hours a day. So she's at home doing some of the chores, like studying for medical school. So it was one way where we had all our own personal space to each other. Like, she was like, get out of the house. I need to study. Like, all right, I'm going to go out for a run.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm so curious to ask you this, Michael. So the day of the race comes, how are you feeling? Like, in your head, are you thinking, oh my goodness, I had two other opportunities that I didn't get done? Or are you thinking, I'm getting this done, period, no matter what? Like, what was your mindset like before the gun went off?
So during my training, I was looking up like race day, like mentality, like what to do on a race day, like how are you going to feel during like that event? And one idea I read really like I felt where that day is a celebration of all your training. Like the previous like 18, 20 weeks, that was your marathon. Now we're going to celebrate all those weeks of training. So that was my mentality the entire time. Like, I don't care how fast I was. I don't care about who I like, if I'd come in last. I just want to say I finally completed a marathon. So I was just head on high, like running the whole way, like happy. Then all of a sudden, like, mile 20 comes and that wall, I'm like, oh, here we go. But I'm like, I'm already here. Like, the race has already like started. Like, I don't want to give up now. Like, I didn't want to give up on my previous self for like failing the previous two times.
I like that. Did you use that quote unquote failure, setback, whatever you want to call it? I mean, I believe that failure is fiction, and those two other times were just set you up for this success. But were you thinking about those other two times at mile 20? Like, using that as positive motivation, or what happened at mile 20 or the toughest part of this marathon?
It was like a good positive reinforcement. I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm better trained. It's not the hottest day of the year. It's probably one that that day was so weird in terms of temperature for me, because it was very cold at the start of the gate. So I was wearing a hood. However, I didn't want to wear just like a t-shirt and shorts because I hate being cold. Like that ruins my mentality more than anything. I'd rather be hot and sweaty than cold and like shivering. So
yeah,
that just helped me go along and like, you know what? This sets up my base for the rest of the year where like I can just keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. It was cold. It was definitely cold in the morning, and then it ended up getting nicer as the day went on. So after mile 20 or whatever the toughest part was, like, can you walk us through what it was like? Let's just say the last mile or whatever period of time you felt like now you know you made it. Like, can you walk us through how that felt?
The last couple miles, it felt relieved. Like, I felt a lot of relief because I already ran 24. Like, 2 miles is nothing. At best, I can just, like, fast jog, like, walk this. And the aid station personnel really helped me a lot in the full scheme of things because they were still there. You know, I was one of the slowest people, but they didn't pack up and leave. They knew there were still people on the course. They had Gatorade water, all like all the amenities ready to build, and they were cheering me on. And that, because when you're in that long like endurance event and your mind just gets to you, like the skeletons come out and they start eating at you. But having that external positive reinforcement really helped me just keep on going. And running, I don't know that walk mall or whatever street or whatever, like right before the turn.
Yeah.
There were like bystanders coming on and like they were cheering me on too. So that just really elevated my like mentality to another whole nother level.
I appreciate you sharing that. And I really think anyone listens to this or watching this, that helps. If you're just standing there cheering for random people, I'm with you on that, Michael. I've been in events where you don't know the person and they're cheering for you like they're your mom or dad. And I'm like, this is wild that they're bringing that kind of energy. So I appreciate you sharing that. And then what about crossing the finish line? Like what was that? I mean, cause I got a chance to watch it firsthand and I'm like, after hearing the story, I'm losing it. Like I'm getting emotional. What were you like crossing the finish line?
I was so relieved, thankful, like seeing Michelle there and like hugging her. Like she's been my number one supporter, like all throughout this entire like training ordeal. And so this was like her event just as much as it was my event. Like I always say I did the easy part. I went out and ran, but ever she had to deal with all the like the mental aspects. Like if I fell down, like she could tell at some points during the like the training that I was not having a good time, but she had that external, like, she was like, just go out and run, like, just go out and do something. So I couldn't have done it without her. So the fact I got to like celebrate with her was really magical.
I love that. We got to make sure she watches this episode. She's getting a lot of shout outs. This is big time. Yo, you got yourself a good man right here. This is, I love that you're giving her shout outs. That's so cool. Well, I mean, congratulations on getting to the finish line. I feel like there's so many takeaways inside of this story, Michael. One of the things I was thinking about is, if do you have any thoughts or advice to anybody that's listening to this or watching this, and maybe they've gained a few pounds over the course of the last year or two, et cetera. Maybe they're just trying to get healthier. Do you have any piece of advice for somebody who's just feeling stuck to get started based on what you've experienced in your life?
It just takes one little thing to change everything. The whole butterfly effect, like all it takes is one little snowflake to start an avalanche. Just making one small change could lead into a much better life down the road.
Oh, that's so good. I love how you say that one small change, because it's proof. Like you proved it. It was one, you can call it a minor habit, but I mean, it was consuming a lot of soda and then switching one thing. That's mind blowing at the impact that it had in your life as well. Let me ask you this, Michael. Maybe it's too early because I know it's only been a couple weeks. Have you noticed anything just day to day after having this huge accomplishment done? Like, how have you been feeling, or how have you kept the momentum since then? And, you know, what's going on body wise, mindset wise, all that stuff?
Like the past couple of weeks, I started like very slow, like started to walk, because it's hard when you do all this rigorous training and all of a sudden you go to nothing and like your body's like, I want to do something, but you're like, rest is very important. If anything, it's the most important part of like training. Just trying to look at future events, because I still have like a lot of future like goals in mind.
I know we mentioned this real quick, just because you just brought it up.
Right.
When you said future goals, do you have something out there yet that you're going to try to go after? I know this is still so new and you're hopefully
Right.
still in celebration mode, but do you know what the game plan is or what's next yet?
So I want to do another, like some sort of endurance event. I know that because for some reason, I really like being active for hours, like for like a marathon. Like during my fitness journey years ago, I did a GORUCK HTL. I don't know if you heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
48 hours. That was probably the second hardest thing I've done, like with this marathon being like the first thing, because that one, that could be a whole nother story for that event. But it's either continue running longer, like maybe like a 50K, a 50 miler, or maybe put my foot in some sort of like triathlon, trying like a 73 or 70.3 or like a full Ironman. Because growing up, I never fully learned how to ride a bike. So adding on to that, like I feel like that's a whole nother challenge I could really get into. Like going from not even riding a bike to completing a full Ironman, like that's another journey I could probably cross.
So you're telling me as of right now, you've never ridden a bike before, really?
Maybe like once or twice. Like Michelle will totally swear up and down I know how to ride a bike. But that's because she took me around like the parking lot for like maybe an hour. But like the longest I've ridden was maybe like a tenth of a mile.
Oh, this is a big time story. Going from no, I mean, either one, and whether it's a Olympic triathlon 70.3 or Ironman, I mean, I love how you're thinking big. It seems like now that you cross this marathon threshold, it's like, well, what's the next big thing? And I relate to that big time. I love endurance racing that takes 5, 6, 7+ hours for some weird reason that I don't know I've figured out yet, but I love it. You got to let us know when you sign up for whatever the next event is, and we're going to have to hop on and do this again.
Oh yeah, totally.
Man, Michael, I'm so glad that randomly we ran into each other. I'm so glad that I think it was Michelle was telling me part of the story at the finish line. And I appreciate you having the courage and being vulnerable and open with us to share your story, my friend. It's powerful, it's meaningful, and I'm sure you inspired a lot of people on this podcast episode. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Absolutely. Oh, just one last thing. How can people find you? I know Instagram, I think, is the best. What's your Instagram? And we'll put it in the show notes also.
My Instagram handle is just M Curry. So
M Curry.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect. M Curry, MCURRY. Check him out on Instagram. Follow along, because who knows what's next? It sounds like it might be a half or full Ironman. I'm excited to watch, my friend. And thanks again for hopping on.
Well, thank you for having me, Matt. It was very exciting to be part of the, to have you with this journey with me.
It's my pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. And we will see you all next week. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment if you enjoyed the show. To follow on social media, at Matt Scaletti on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot me a message, reach out. I'd love to hear feedback, and wishing you an amazing rest of your week.